Father, reading tonight in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. 12 verses out of the 5th chapter. So notice those last 3 verses. Blessed are ye, are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Get happy about it. You know, most of us get down in the dumps and want to whimper and whine and complain because folks are against us because we're Christian. We don't owe the world any apology for being a Christian. And we don't have to be intimidated and embarrassed because they're against us. Because after all, if it wasn't for us, they'd be in foul shape a little bit. You take every Christian off the face of the earth, and less than 24 hours it'll be a seething hell on earth. We're the salt that's preserving it. We're the light that's keeping the enemy back out at a distance. Wasn't for us, my friends, the enemies would move in and breed so fast and take this whole community and whole country over. And so there's no need of us being embarrassed and intimidated by some of the devil's crowd and persecuting and lying and falsely accusing us. Lift up your chin. They hadn't got sense enough to know it wasn't for us, they'd be in bad shape in a little bit. So it's for their benefit that we're here. It's for their good that we're here. And they need to realize that. There's a reason of it. So I just want to put that in extra. Let us pray. Our Father, tonight, we're in your presence, and help us to recognize it. Because you said, where two or more shall agree, meet together in thy name, you'd be there in the midst of them. And Father, we've met together tonight in your name, several of us. And we've come to behold you, to worship you, to adore you. So we pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that the Spirit of God shall take over and possess us. And shall give us a good time in the Lord. Bless every soul that's here. Bless every preacher and every church that's represented here. And our fathers, we think on thy word together. We pray that we shall so submit ourselves to it that you can use us tonight to bless those who wait. Father, we pray tonight for the one that shall follow, that there'll be a special anointing on him.
Yes.
His body will be tired and worn, but God, you can refresh him.
Yes.
You can revive him. And you can fire him up the way you'll fire us up.
Yes.
So I pray, God, you'll give him renewed strength. He's got a terrible load on him, but you can help him bear it up. Now, Father, we pray tonight that you'll just help us take thy servant now and loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give us holy unction.
Yes.
Send us away feeling we've done your will and we'll be happy about it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to think with you tonight on the sixth verse of the fifth chapter of Matthew. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Which is simply saying, blessed are those who become conscious, wake up to the realization of the fact that they're hungering after righteousness, thirsting after righteousness, for they shall get satisfied. What he's saying, Jesus is saying here, blessed is the man that realizes, wakes up to the fact, becomes awakened and alarmed that the thing that I'm hurting for is righteousness. The thing I'm hungry for is righteousness. And my friends, God so created us that you'll never be satisfied and have peace and happiness living unrighteous. There's no way, my friends, to get you happy. Oh, you may get excited, but we're talking about happiness. We're talking about peace. God so created us that when certain times come, he created us with a stomach subject to hunger pains and thirsty pains. And when you realize that you're hungry and thirsty, you get real hungry and get real thirsty, you get a blessing out of drinking and eating. And Jesus is saying, blessed are ye when you get hungry like that and thirsty like that after righteousness, for you're going to get happy taking it in. And so as we stop to recognize it tonight, my friends, hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a part of us. Just as much as you hunger and thirst after food and liquid for the physical, God created the spiritual part of you to hunger and thirst after spiritual things. And one of them is just as real as the other. Now, I want you to realize, my friends, that people have to eat and drink to live and to be satisfied. Don't make any difference. They may become millionaires, but they still have to eat and drink. They may become famous, have a lot of fame. But you remember when they elevated the men to the moon, they still had to eat, still had to drink. When they get them down in way under the waters in the ocean and submarines, they still have to eat, they still have to drink. Get them way out on the plains or way out in the mountains, anyway. Wherever you find man, he's got to eat and drink to be satisfied. And you can't breed it out of him, you can't educate it out of him, you can't legislate it out of him. You just can't get it out of him. It's a part of him. Never gets too rich, never gets too intelligent, never gets too powerful, never gets too elevated or low rated or anything else that he don't have to eat and don't have to sleep, my friends, and drink to be satisfied physically. So just the same way God created man to where until he eats of the spiritual food and eats of the spiritual food, he'll never be satisfied. He'll never have any satisfaction. Now he said, he that eateth of this bread, like came down out of heaven, like your fathers ate, shall hunger and die. But he that eateth of the bread that I shall give him shall never hunger and shall never die. He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but it become a well of water bubbling up into everlasting life. And what Jesus is saying to these disciples, blessed are those who's become awakened to the fact and realized it, that they, in order to be satisfied, my friends, must drink of God's righteousness, and they must eat of the things of God. So for you tonight, I say to you that any direction you go from partaking of the bread of life and the water of life is going to lead you dissatisfied, going to leave you miserable, going to leave you irritated, going to leave you with nerves, nagging, gnawing. The world is full of people tonight that's not satisfied. People everywhere are irritable. They're nervous and they're miserable and they're just not satisfied. They're hunting dope, they're hunting liquor, they're hunting sex, they're hunting entertainment, they're hunting everything you can think of. But Jesus said, blessed are ye, when you get sense enough, no, you're not going to find it nowhere except in righteous living. And as a result, my friends, if you think you're going to go out in the world and take of the things of the world and eat of the things of the world and drink of the things of the world and participate in the things of the world, if you think you're going to get satisfied with that stuff, your brains is on a vacation tonight, because it's not going to happen. Now the reason of it, God fixed you like that. And if God hadn't fixed us like that, because of the depravity that's within us, they go forth speaking lies in their infancy. And the depraved natures that are in us would take us out and feed us to the lions of sin, and we'd be happy in it, and we'd enjoy it. But God so fixed that living for the world and the devil's spirit, you'll never be satisfied. You see, my friends, there's nothing that gives you the peace and the satisfaction and the gratification and the feeling of satisfaction like living the life that Christ would have us to live. So as a result, he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not good to thirst after the world. Hey, the world has never satisfied anybody. It's exciting, it's thrilling, and it's filling, but it's killing. It'll fill you up with something. It'll thrill your carcass with all kind of sensations and vibrations, but the first thing you know, you're dead. You passed feeling. First thing you know, you're miserable. First thing you know, you're irritable. You're jittery inside. You can't find nothing to satisfy. And as a result, yes, the world will feel you. Yes, the world will thrill and thrill and thrill. But the wage of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now Jesus is saying, blessed are those that realize that righteousness is what they need to live on. Because when you start sinning, you start dying. And the more you sin, the deader you become. The more you sin, the more miserable you become. So as a result of it, every step away from God,
You're going to get higher and higher and higher. Now sin will take you down, 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 down to death. God's righteousness will take you up, up, up to life eternal. So he's simply saying, blessed are you when you wake up to that realization. We stop to realize, my friends, tonight that the world cannot satisfy. It only has the husk. It's only a filler. That's all it is, just a filler. For example, my friends, a lot of us is fighting the weight problem all the time, eating a lot of salad, just filler. They say it has no calories, eat all this you want. A lot of times I don't want. And but fill up on this. Well, when you fill up on it, you ain't got nothing. No calories in it. No strength in it. And so that's the way the world feeds you. It feeds with a bunch of stuff that don't have any calories in it. It'll fill you up and you'll get full, but you hadn't got nothing when you get full of it except a bunch of headaches and heartaches, and find yourself dead and weak and defeated. It's not a thing in the world, but just so much of a filler. That's all the world is. A filler. I had a good friend down in the lower part of Mississippi back years ago. He's selling eggs. He had a big chicken farm, and his hen laid eggs, and he'd sell them to the hatcheries. He made big money. And the bottom fell out of eggs, so to speak. And it's costing him more to feed his chickens than he was making out of them. He's going in debt. Had to start reaching back in his savings account and pull out to feed the chickens, the hens. And it just kept going down. And he kept losing money. So he had to get some kind of a filler. He went out and got a bunch of stuff to put in his chicken feed, his lead mash, to put in some filler to fill them up, but not same time not cost so much. So he found out sawdust was pretty good filler. And he got him some fresh sawdust and put it in his lead mash and fed him 10%. They kept a laying. He increased it 20% and they kept laying. He increased it 50% and they kept laying. He increased it finally to 90% and the hens kept laying, eating 90% sawdust and 10% laying mash. And he was making money then. Wasn't costing nothing to get the sawdust. But he sold a bunch of the eggs to a hatcher, and when they hatched out, 90% of the chickens was red-headed woodpeckers. So he hadn't gained anything. My friends, that's about the way the devil hatch you or your young'uns out. You feed them on the world and on righteousness, and it'll hatch out you a bunch of little devils at your house. That's what it'll do. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll get satisfied. And you'll be satisfied with your young'uns if you feed them on righteous living. They won't be hatched out. They'll be a bunch of little devils and demons and living like a devil and acting like a devil and treating you like a devil. Blessed are ye when you will wake up and realize righteous living is the best thing for you and your children. And as a result, we need to see it tonight. Then we realize, my friends, only when you get conscious that you're hungry and that you're thirsty will you eat and drink. We don't use looking over the drink or nothing to eat when we're not hungry. We're just not looking for it. But when you get conscious, hunger pains is hitting me, thirsty pains is hitting me, then you start looking for something to eat and something to drink. And Jesus said, blessed are ye when you begin to get conscious that I need some spiritual help. I need some of the righteousness of God. I need some of the Spirit of God. Blessed are ye when you start realizing I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for worship. I'm hungry for gospel singing. I'm hungry for God's preachers. I'm hungry for the word of God. Blessed are ye when you realize I'm hungry and I've got to go somewhere and sit down at God's table and eat a while. Then God never gives a special blessing to any soul that is not conscious of a need. God just don't go around squirting it on you. God don't go around with a ramrod hammering down you. God don't hold your nose and drink you. Blessed are ye when you get conscious you need something, you'll go to God. Don't expect God to run you down and drench you with spiritual things. He's not going to do it. What you should do is to realize you're hungry, you're thirsty, and you empty the things of God, and then go and look, say, look, God, I've got empty. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty after the things of God. Feed me. Give me drink, God. God never has blessed people until they became conscious of the need. Go back through the Old Testament. They didn't get blessed until they became conscious of the need. But when they cried out to God, God fed them and blessed them. Go through the New Testament. You'll find God never blessed them except when they were conscious of a need. But when they got hungry and cried out unto God, God heard them. God fed them. God watered them. And that's the way it's always been. And a deep sense of need must get a hold of any of us before we get the blessings of God. God always waits till the sense of need possesses us. He always waits on it. And then we appreciate it more when we get it. God waits until that sense of need. You know what I mean? There's times when you sense a need, I just got to get to God. I've just got to have some of God. I've got to have God's help. I've got to have God's assistance. Amen. There's that sense of need. Jesus said, blessed are those that realize within themselves they don't have anything. And they've got to come. And so, my friends, we need to recognize tonight, he's saying, blessed are those that wake up to that sense of need. And as a result, when we sense the need, we'll find it. Now, we ought to have as much sense as an old donkey. He said in the book of Isaiah, the ox knows who owns him. And the ass knows where his master's crib is. Just an old brain-kicking donkey knows when he gets hungry if he'll go to his master's crib, there's corn in it. And Isaiah said, you ought to have as much sense as a donkey. When he gets hungry, he goes to the master's crib and fingers or paws on the door. Gets him some corn. Gets him some feed. And my friends, you ought to have sense enough to know it's going to take the spiritual things to satisfy your soul. There ain't no need of going to the honky-tonks and roadhouses and beer gardens and pool halls and dance places and the beaches and other places. Kicking and a snorting and a pawing around, you're not going to get nothing to satisfy you. Yeah. You're going to get the corn, you're going to have to go where the crib is. So Jesus is saying, blessed are those who's got as much sense as a brain donkey. That when they realize they're hungry and thirsty, they go to the right crib to get what they need. We got thousands of Baptists tonight who are running all over the country to the entertainment places, to the beer joints, to the dance hall, pool halls, nightclubs, running everywhere. You can think, my friends, trying to get peace, trying to get satisfied. And they're getting more empty and more irritable all time, more miserable all time. God's Son is saying, blessed are those who's got sense enough to know when they get hungry to go to God's crib and get something to eat. World hadn't got nothing to satisfy you, my friends. And I want you to realize when you get thirsty enough, you go to God and he'll always help you. There ain't no other help. You listen to this old preacher tonight. There is no other help. There's no other place you can get what you need when you're spiritually hungry. God will see to that. Why, if God lets you find something out in the world, and the world could give you something better than what God's got, you never would go to God. Well, God ain't going to let that happen. What God's got's better than the world can feed you. What God's got's better than the world can offer you. And I want you to realize you're going to have to go that way to get it. All the hungry and thirsty have power to eat or to drink of righteousness. You just don't eat when you're not hungry. You got to get hungry. You got to get thirsty to enjoy eating. And so, my friends, Jesus is saying, blessed are those that get so hungry, they want to take of me. If they get so hungry, they want to drink of me. Blessed are ye when you get to that point in your life to where you really want to come and eat and drink of me. Because Jesus knew it was best. And as a result, my friends, folks that's not hungry, don't eat. In other words, only healthy men get hungry. You don't want nothing to eat when you're sick. You want nothing to eat when you're full. And if you claim to be Christian and you're not hungry and thirsty after the things of God, you're full of something else. You done filled up on that filler. And it all thrills you, but it's a killing you, and you're getting poor all the time. A lot of Baptists are so spiritually poor, they need a walking stick or a walker to go with. Because they've been eating and drinking the wrong stuff. The world will never strengthen you. The world will never make you healthy. The world will never give you the power you need. It don't have it to give. Now, when you're sick, you don't want nothing. Say, well, I might take a little soup. If I had some bird soup or quail soup or chicken soup. That stinks. I can't stomach it. If I had a little fish, seems like I'd eat some fish. And they get it there and you look at it and your stomach starts swirling. You know, take it out. Sick. Can't eat. We got a lot of church people sick. You give them the very best steak and chicken, so to speak. I don't want that. I ain't hungry. They don't go to church because they're not hungry. They go to church because they're not thirsty. They're sick. And I'm not wondering a lot of folks in our churches are sick. Because all they've been eating is the cucumbers, onions, and garlic of Egypt. They've eaten so much television and eat so much worldliness and so much sex and so much dope and so much sin and so much of the things of the world until I'm just sick. You got to be healthy to want to eat. And if you don't want to eat the things of God, I'll tell you, friends, you're sick tonight and in bad health. When we get to where we get healthy, we'll want to eat. And if you say, well, I just don't care for preaching. I just don't care for singing. I just don't care for the things of the church. You've done announced I've got awful sick. I'm a sickling. I can't eat. I'm not hungry anymore. Then, my friends, a lot of folks are like that. Then, not only that, healthy man gets hungry and a working man gets hungry. Now, Jesus, the word of God said we'd earn our living by the sweat of our face. Didn't mean you made your living because your face sweated, but it meant that you eat, you'd make your living, and he working and sweating would make it to digest. And when folks are not working, just lounging around, You don't walk no more. You eat and you just lounge around. Lays around. And you don't want to eat again. You're full. And you haven't eaten. You haven't worked and exercised and burned it up and you don't eat anymore. So we got a lot of Baptists tonight that haven't worked for God in so long. Well, I just don't care about spiritual things. I just don't care about preaching. I don't care about singing. I don't care about what to do up at the church. I'm just not hungry. No, they're lazing around, doing nothing, loafing, lounging around with the devil's bunch till they ain't never got hungry. But I'll tell you, the ones that's carrying the load in our churches, that's doing the preaching and teaching and praying and singing and making a livelihood and taking keep the lights on the house of God with their means, and they want somebody. They're workers. So if you're one of these don't want anything, I don't care for the church. I don't care. Well, God can't feed those that don't want nothing. My friends, God ain't innocent feeding people that don't want nothing. Just like you go to feed the baby, and it eats a little bit, and then it gets all it wants. You give that, they take a spoon, the mama takes a spoon, puts it in his mouth. She rakes it off his lips and puts it back in his mouth. She rakes it off and puts it back. He's all he wants, you know. We got a lot of bad. I don't want all the spiritual stuff. I don't care for all this stuff. Don't try to get anything more. We preachers and workers get out and try to feed them some. I don't want it.
That's right.
I don't want all that stuff.
Listen.
Well, that's why we get tired trying to feed you. A lot of folks say, well, they ain't just not answering me in the church or they don't come by us in. Well, they've been by a few times trying to beat you. Spit it out and get it up. Maybe they'll be back in you. Spit it out again. They got darn trying to feed you when you didn't want them. You listen, it's not a worker in this church. If they went out there and found two answers to get more truth, and you just say, well, thank you, give us some more. That's good. Tell us something else about God. That's wonderful. Tell us something. Why, they work as if they're out there feeding you. We just got too many folks that don't want nothing. Jesus said, blessed are you when you get hungry and thirsty after righteous cause, you're going to get fed. God will see to it somebody feeds you and satisfies you. So as a result, all the hungry and thirsty ever eat. And you got to eat to grow. You can't grow on sawdust and shavings. You got to have meat and bread. You can't grow on just a bunch of worldly garbage. You got to have the spiritual foods of God to grow. And the reason we got so many little old weakling stunning church members, they refuse to eat the righteous life of God. They don't want righteousness. They want worldliness. And they're filling up on the things of the world. It fills them up. It thrills them. But it kills them. They're dying spiritually. Their growth is dying. They're little old bitty things and no good for God. I want you to know, my friends, one of the most pitiful things in the world is somebody that don't grow. I remember down in our state, a young couple had a little boy born in the home. He won the state prize of being the healthiest child for 3 years. Then won it nationally. He became the national healthiest baby in America for 3 years. And something went wrong. He never did grow no more. 15 years old. Mind of a 3-year-old. 15 years old. The body and the strength of the 3-year-old. 15 years old, but his mom and daddy still have to carry him around and look at him like he's 3 years old. I know a lot of Baptists. My friends that grew right well. And a lot of them back out to Wolves. They're bigger when they first get born than they are any other time. And a lot of Baptists are bigger when they first start there than are anywhere else. They fail to eat. They fail to drink. And we've got a bunch of little bitty old walked dwarfs spiritually. Spiritually dwarfs. And that's the reason the kingdom of God is having a time advancing. We haven't got any strong men and strong women to go for God. Oh, Jesus said, blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. For you grow up. When you eat the right thing, you're healthy. You grow up. You become men and become women for God. You become soldiers of the cross. Blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. My friends, we stop to realize as long as any person in the church is not willing to grow, you won't grow. Well, I'm good as the preacher. I'm good as the deacons. I'm good as the rest of the members. Well, what is it if you are? Why don't you try being better than the rest of us? It's a sad day. You are satisfied because I'm good as the rest of them. Well, maybe God meant you to be better than the rest of us and set an example for the rest of us. Too many people are satisfied being like others in the church. And God wants you to be an example. God wants you to be a leader. But she said, well, I've done my part. I'm good as the rest of them. I'm doing what's in the rest of them. Well, why don't you grow up and do something else? Quit being child. Quit being children. Grow up and be men strong for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness and grow up and become men and women for the kingdom of God's interest. Then I realize, you realize that you're weak and poor and that you need help. You'll go to God. You'll go to the book. You'll go to the altar. You got to realize I'm weak. I need help. You go to God and he gives you help. You go to the book and it gives you help. You go to prayer and it gives you help. You got to realize that, my friends. And then we stop to realize something else. There's a better life than this we live in. Can't you live better than you live in? In the feeling that I ought to live better, do better than your sister.
Amen.
Who put that in? Amen. The Lord.
Sure.
Not the devil, but the Lord. So he's put a hunger and thirst after being better, doing more, living better. Blessed are those of you that woke up the fact I put a tug in you to be a better person than you are, to cause you to want to grow. To cause you to want to live better, to cause you want to do it. Where did that come from? It come out of the righteousness of the Lord.
Yes.
My friends, he put it in there.
Yes.
And we ought to recognize it.
Yes.
And get out to do it. Oh, God, help us to see it as we think about it. My friends, you got to urge in you to do better and to live better. Then why don't you answer the urge and do it? Can you have a greater desire than to be better? To live better, what's greater than that? God will not deny anyone of this, feeding them when they're hungry, watering them when they're thirsty. He put this longing in us. He created us with this longing. Therefore, it's the greatest need in all of our hearts. His promise is, we will be filled more than earthly parents. He said, if you go ask your earthly parent for bread, will you give him rocks? If you ask for eggs, will you give him scorpions? If you ask for fish, will you give him snakes? How much more then does your heavenly Father know how to give the good things to those that ask him? And my friends, we need to wake up and realize God's got something better for us than we've got. And we need to go ask God for some things that'll make us better, that'll make us stronger, that'll make us more influential for the kingdom of God. And my friends, it's there for us. Jesus said over in the book of John, for example, Hey, let us notice what he said. The book of John. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And then let's look again. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let him that is athirst come unto me and drink. You're not going to get your thirst satisfied in the world and the worldly places. That ain't going to satisfy you. Look what old John said over in the epistle of John. You remember what he said? Love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't put your love on that business. You'll get jilted if you love the world and the things of the world. You'll get jilted in that love affair. Had a young lady. I was in the state of South Carolina meeting. When a fine young lady in our church called me just screaming. Said, Brother Ray, my pastor. I said, yes. I thought maybe the whole family got killed or something. I said, pull yourself together long enough to tell me what's wrong. She said, Butch told me last night he isn't going to marry me. She's engaged to a boy. And they already had the announcement in the newspaper. Already had the wedding set. Already had the gowns made. And in a day or two, they're going to get married. The reception, the cake is already baked and everything. And said, he told me last night he didn't love me. He wasn't going to marry me. And I'm not going to go crazy. I said, forget it. Get on your knees and thank God you found us. You never go down and ask before you ever met. I said, if he'd do that to you now, he'd do it later. So my friends, they said she got jilted in a love affair. And that's about the way the world and the devil do you. You love that and tear around in that crowd. And when you get in the trial, they'll leave you. The world ain't going to marry you. They don't want you. But if you get fed up on Jesus' righteousness, he'll take you as the bride and marry you and carry you to glory. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. My friends, Jesus is saying, let him as a thirst come and drink. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. In one of our hospitals, a little boy was carried. And they got him there, they examined him and found out malnutrition had set in, starving to death. And they put him in the chair at a ward of our Baptist hospital. And the doctors made thorough examinations, found it just starvation. They said to the nurses, give him anything he wants that his body will take. Give him milk, give him concentrated soups and juices, all he wants. Told a little boy, said, Sonny, these girls in white dresses, if you want something to drink like milk or juice or some soup, push this button. They'll bring it to you. After the doctor was gone from the room, little bitty pushed the button. A nurse appeared. Said, what is it, son? Said, may I have some milk? Said, sure. Doctors want you to have milk. She went and got a big glass of milk. Brought it and set it on his table and said, honey, there's your milk, drink it. Went on away. And she came back about 20 minutes later to pick up the empty glass and the milk was still in it. Said, honey, what's the matter? Milk wasn't good? Said, oh, it looks so good, I'm sure it's good. Well, I thought you wanted some milk. Said, yes, I'm going to do. Said, why didn't you drink it? Said, there wasn't nobody here to show me how deep to drink. She said, what do you mean, son? Said, at our house, there's five of us kids, and mama holds her finger and shows how much each one can drink. And said, missus, I didn't want to drink some other child's part. if you'd be kind enough to hold your finger, I'll drink my part and you can take the rest of it on the rest of them. She said, oh no, son. Oh no, son. Drink all of it. And we got a big reservoir full of it. You can get all of it you want. Or the deacon or nobody else. The reservoir is full of the righteous of God. Drink yourself all you can hold. It's good for you. It'll help you. It'll cleanse you. It'll strengthen you. We need to drink enough of it to change our nature. We got an old depraved nature that works on us and keeps us down all the time. Drink enough of the Spirit of God, my friends, to change your nature. And then drink enough of it to change your purpose. What's your purpose in life? Well, my friends, life doesn't consist of what we possess and what we eat. If you think all the rest of life is what you wear and what you eat and what you possess, you done thunk wrong. Life is more than what the body is more than raiment. And life is more than meat. And our life does not consist of what we possess. You can possess everything and still be as miserable. I was up at Mayfield, Kentucky, in a meeting. A young woman wanted me to come over, and me and the pastor and visit her in the home. They were multimillionaires. And she sat in the living room. The carpet felt like walking on a feather bed I used to sleep on when I was a lad of boy in the country. Most expensive art, and she had one of the most expensive dresses probably that could be made. She sat there and tears run off in her cheeks, and I said, lady, what's wrong? She said, I thought one time if I had all the money I could spend, I'd be happy. Said an uncle of mine died and we gained $6 million. Another member of our family died when he gained $7 million. We've got millions of dollars in this house with servants. But my husband's turned to drinking women and he don't love me. Our home's a wreck and I would to God I'd have never seen the money. I was happier before it came. Now I'm miserable. Life didn't consist of what she possessed. My friends, a lot of folks filthy rich die in poverty. It's not satisfaction. And he said, blessed are ye. And we need to drink, my beloved, where our purpose is to live for God. Our purpose is to honor God and to glorify him through his church. We need to drink enough of the Spirit of God till we'll get our purpose changed. And then we need to drink enough of the Spirit of God and eat enough of God's food to get our power changed. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, and he's working us over. But we can drink and eat enough of the Spirit of God till we'll be stronger than the devil is. And I don't know anybody that don't need a few drinks and a few bites of the strength of God to overcome the power of the devil in this world. We need to take enough of the Spirit of God to be satisfied. A lot of people just got enough to be miserable. Oh, it's Sunday again. Oh, they're having another meeting. Poor me. I get up and go to church. Poor me. I have to live right. I can't do like I used to. You need to take enough of the Spirit of God to wear that stuff you used to fool with and look like a slop bucket and hit the bell. Get satisfied with what God's got for you. Hey, if you get enough God, you'll be satisfied. You won't be hunting those slop pins of sin. You'll be satisfied. And if you're not satisfied, you're drinking at the wrong fountain and eating at the wrong table. Get back and eat righteousness and drink righteousness of God and you get satisfied. And then, my friends, we need to drink enough of it to be an overflow of good works. Just overflow. Won't have to pump and pamper and prime and pull. It'll just flow out of us like a river. And we need to drink enough of the Spirit of God to where we'll have an overflow of faith. overflow of love, overflow of fruitfulness, overflow of giving. We need to get so full of the Spirit of God, we'll enjoy giving to the kingdom of God. Most folks give like pulling our teeth. One Sunday morning when old Dr. J.D. Gamble was living, had 32 deacons line up across the front, and he gave them the offering plates. He said, take up the offering. They all come down and lined up, and Sam Deacon's got stacked plates, went around me, there's one of one, 32 of them, across that first church. And then Dr. Gamble said, sit down, I want to accept this deacon right here on me. Let's get to sit down. Said, you take the offer. He said, Bible said that's what I said, you take the offer. Rest of the city. He said, take it from them too. When he started to pass along, the Dr. Gamble come down and watched the offer. He peeped to see who put in what. Before it got halfway back, a bunch of them was mad. Some of them got up and stomped out and slammed the door. Others just mumbling mad. He followed them all the way through. He come back to the pulpit, said, brethren and sisters, if you pitched all that kind of fit because the preacher saw what you give, what you think God's going to do? That if you're ashamed of the preacher seeing it, you're bound to be robbing God. You ought to be ashamed of it. My friends, when we're full of the Spirit of God, we're not ashamed of it. We'll give, and it'll feel good to give because we're advancing the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who get satisfied with righteousness. Whoever one, let him come and get that which satisfies. Oh, my friends, just drink enough of the Spirit of God. Eat enough of the Spirit of God to give us power, to give us purpose. My friends, to give us a changed nature and to put us overflowing with the things that need to flow out like a river. Amen.